Hey there, special educators. Welcome to Autism Academy 360, a podcast to making your job as special education teachers easier. I'm Lisa.
And I'm Abby, a behavior specialist. And together, we have over 25 years of special education experience.
And I'm a veteran autism teacher. We both are passionate about empowering you with practical teaching strategies and actionable tips and tricks that will help you thrive in your role.
Whether you're a seasoned educator looking for fresh insights, a newbie navigating your first classroom, or a parent of a neurodivergent child, this podcast is your go-to resource for all things autism.
So let's get started with today's episode. Hey guys, and welcome back to Autism Academy 360. I'm your host, Lisa Holiday, and today I want to chat about some mistakes I see when using visual schedules in autism classrooms. So visual schedules are an invaluable tool for supporting individuals with ASD, especially in self-contained settings. They provide structure, promote independence, and enhance predictability, which is super important when we're talking about students with autism. However, despite their benefits, there are certain pretty common mistakes that can diminish their effectiveness. Let's explore these mistakes and how to avoid them for optimal use in the autism classroom. So number one, lack of individualization. One of the most critical mistakes when using visual schedules is failing to personalize them according to each student's unique needs and preferences. These students with autism spectrum disorders can vary widely in their communication abilities, sensory sensitivities, and even learning styles. Therefore, a one-size-fits-all approach to visual schedules is highly ineffective. So what I want you to do is think about when you start using individual schedules or when you start creating these schedules for these students, I want you to think about how a student learns best and kind of building those schedules around the student. Yes, you could probably use, when you're first starting out, you can use all of the same schedules, but soon on in, you know, 1 week, 2 week, third week in, I want you to start tweaking those schedules to meet the student's needs. All right, mistake number two I see is overcomplicating the student's schedules. Using complex or very cluttered visual schedules can really overwhelm your students with autism, leading to maybe confusion or disengagement. When schedules include too much information or too many details, they can become more of like a hindrance than a help. So I want you to keep the schedules clear, concise, and easy to understand. Use simple language, minimal text, and really uncluttered visuals. I want you to break down tasks into manageable steps, but focusing on those key activities for the student's daily routine. Say you have math on there, but you also have what they're doing in math. Take those pieces out and just put math and use another mini schedule when they get to those schedules. Sometimes a student's schedule can be covered up, like maybe the afternoon portion of their day is covered up, so they're only able to see the morning, and that will reduce a lot of stress for some students. Mistake number three, using visual schedules inconsistently. So failing to consistently implement these visual schedules that you have worked so hard on creating can create unpredictability, which is super challenging for students with autism spectrum disorder. Changes or inconsistencies in these schedules can often lead to a lot of behaviors. So what I want you to do is establish a consistent schedule routine and ensure that they're ready and easily used. So for example, when I first started out this brand new classroom that I'm doing right now, I used all of the same schedules for all the students and I hung them on the wall. However, that was not working for any of my students. So I created binder schedules for all of my students so the paraprofessionals and the students had easy access to them all day long and taking those schedules with them to each center. This really helps create consistency for the students. And also making sure that you teach your paraprofessionals to regularly review and update the schedules to reflect any changes in the routine. So for example, if we did the schedule the night before and it had OT on there and OT canceled in the morning, I would make sure that the paraprofessionals or I update that schedule to reflect that there's no more OT. All right, mistake number 4 is neglecting transition supports. Transitions can be really challenging for students with autism, and failing to incorporate transition supports within the visual schedules can result in, the child feeling super anxious. They may be resistant to using that visual schedule or resistant to transitioning. Obviously, difficulty moving those between those activities, especially if it's going from a preferred activity to a non-preferred activity. So try integrating those transition supports directly into the schedules using countdown timers or transition warnings, other visual cues signaling those upcoming changes. For example, I often use a little whiteboard and it has a timer. It's a Time Timer brand that has a whiteboard attached to it. And so we'll often say, okay, first then, and then start the timer and whatever they're in. So first math and then whatever reinforcer they're doing. Or sometimes you just use it as the schedule. And so you're saying, okay, first math and then ELA. Mistake number 5, underestimating flexibility and adaptability. So while visual schedules provide structure, it's also really important to recognize that flexibility is also crucial when working with students with autism. You know, they often have a lot of rigidity and needing to adhere to that schedule, but it also can hinder opportunities for spontaneous learning and adjustment. So we want to balance structure with flexibility by allowing for modifications and adaptations to the visual schedule as needed. We want to encourage our students to participate in modifying their schedules based on their interests and preferences as well. So, for example, sometimes I will just change up the student's schedule on a whim to see how they deal with flexibility, because we need to be able to teach flexibility within their schedules. Mistake number 6 is over-reliance on color coding. So color coding visual schedules can inadvertently lead to students fixating on specific colors, potentially limiting their flexibility and understanding of the schedule. I was actually one to break this rule this year, and I did color code all of my students' visual schedules this year. However, sometimes the students can get reliant on those schedules or hyper-fixated on those colors. So for example, if they move to a new room or a new teacher the next year, they might have huge meltdowns because they're no longer blue or they're no longer green. You know what I mean? And also, when you seem to lose pieces and you happen to have extra pieces of another color, you're kind of having mixed colors on the same schedule, which can often upset a student or it upsets paraprofessionals because they're also super rigid. So using a variety of visual cues beyond just color coding to represent different activities or tasks, or assigning a student that color. Mistake number 7, crowded locations for student schedules. So I made this mistake also at the beginning of this year. So placing all visual schedules in the same location in your classroom can lead to crowding and confusion and a lot of chaos, especially in a busy classroom with multiple students and activities. You throw in paraprofessionals in there, and it's a lot of people moving at the same time to the same location. So I did this in the beginning of the year. I put all of my students' schedules in one location because I had very limited wall space. And so doing that, I found out very quickly that it just became chaotic. Everyone was trying to get to the same location at the same time. And so what I ended up doing was using those binder visual schedules instead. and that has helped. So you can also distribute visual schedules strategically across different areas of your classroom if you have the available wall space to reduce congestion and provide easy access for individual students. So I want you to consider individual placements based on students' needs and student seating arrangements, because sometimes I have a student right now that the bathroom is super triggering for that student. The student will not go near the bathroom. And so having his schedule near the bathroom was a poor choice on my end. So we end up moving that. So I also want you to ensure that schedules are clearly labeled and consistently maintained in those designated locations. So please do not make the same mistakes that I am using. I do want to throw in a bonus mistake. So using the same schedule year after year. So reusing the exact same visual schedule without any updates or modifications can lead to decreased engagement and relevance over time. And also, we want them to be able to use schedules at the high school level or after high school. So we don't always want to use like those super big object schedules or using a huge icon schedule that doesn't make sense when they're in high school. So what I want you to do is regularly refresh visual schedules by introducing new activities or changing the layout somehow or updating the visuals to maintain student interest and their needs and abilities. So if a student is a reader, you're not going to use icons anymore. If your student can read, all they need is words. So you just put words in order on a piece of paper and all of a sudden they have a checklist of some sort, right? And so by the time they get to high school, having a schedule that's just in words is super appropriate. So I want you to also seek input from students or their caregivers, any colleagues that they've had before, to ensure that schedules remain relevant and meaningful throughout the school year and from year to year. So in summary, visual schedules are super powerful tools when we're using them thoughtfully and tailored to the individual students. I've only had my students right now for about 8 to 9 weeks. I started a brand new classroom and opened it up middle of the year, so it's been quite challenging, but I've already changed my schedules, I would say 3 to 4 times. So I know it can be time consuming. I know that it can take a lot of work, but changing them up to meet the needs and making sure that they're able to use them is super important. So by avoiding these common mistakes and implementing effective strategies, we can create supportive, inclusive learning environments that benefits all students, particularly those with autism spectrum disorder. So let's embrace the versatility and potential of visual schedules to enhance that learning, enhance that independent skill, and overall well-being for students in the autism classroom. Thank you so much for joining me today. Until next time, guys. Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Autism Academy 360. We hope that you've gained some tips and motivation to fuel your week ahead.
Before you go, don't forget to hit that follow button on your favorite podcast platform so you never miss an episode. If you want to show support, head to Apple Podcasts and leave your rating and review.
Until next time, stay inspired, stay informed, and most importantly, stay connected. We'll catch you in the next episode.